Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. My name is Rob. Today is Monday, December 31st, the last day of 2012. I'm sitting here with my good friend Jason.
What's shaking, bacon?
Hey, it's the end of the year, and this is going to be our big, exciting year-end wrap-up show where we talk about, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about a year in review. And we're going to talk about what we're going to do for next year. So we're going to go over all of our favorite and least favorite stuff for the year. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about all of the new awesome stuff that's going to happen next year. So,
it's going to be a ton of fun. We've come up with a list of questions to ask each other here to kind of talk about where we've been and where we're going.
Yes.
Yeah. So a little bit of a different format to the show today, but hopefully you guys enjoy this look back over the life of building the game so far.
Yeah.
This would be a great place to cut in some epic music.
Yes. I'd like to give a shout out to our Doomsday Prepper friends and say, hey, if you're hearing this right now, you were wrong.
Hey, sucks to be you guys. hope you remember to pay your bills.
And I hope that you can convert all that gold back to money.
That wouldn't be very difficult, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, gold is pretty good.
Pretty sure you'd take a hit, though. Having bought it at retail, you're not going to sell it at retail. Do you never watch Pawn Stars?
I'm just thinking in terms of the global gold market. If anything, prices might be a little higher after the apocalypse.
Well, after the apocalypse, but there was no apocalypse! That's the problem.
That's a good point.
Makes me sad.
So let's just roll into this. The first question we want to talk about here, what was your favorite game you played this year? Like, and I think we're talking in terms of new game, new to you this year, not necessarily just released this year. We want to say, what's your favorite thing that you discovered for the first time this year that you played?
Yes. Excellent. Hands down, no contest, Dominion.
Yeah.
For me and for my wife, I played a lot of fun games this year,
mm-hmm.
but when it comes to a game that really changed my perspective on a style of games, being the deck building game, and then also just a game with so much replayability. I can just play that game over and over again. So I think for me, really, and I think the other thing about Dominion that really is so great is there was so much hype around Dominion, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great game. It's so good. Oh.
Kind of turns you off.
Yeah.
You know?
And then, but I wanted to play it because you did tell me it was good. But everyone just goes gaga over it, and it completely lived up to the hype.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's awesome because that doesn't normally happen. Not with games, not with movies.
Not with most things forms of entertainment. It's true. Yeah. Right on.
So... Yeah, how about yourself?
Well, I've struggled with this. I mean, I feel like I found a lot of really excellent stuff. Dominion absolutely is up there for me.
Now, was this the first year you played Dominion?
Yeah. Okay. I only just found it this past December, or this past July, excuse me. Before Gen Con. I fell in love with that. I also fell in love with Lost Cities right away, right about the same time. Both of them are fantastic. And I love them both so much. Because they're such good two-player experiences, they're so good. It's easy for me to play here at home, just my wife and I. It's great. Dominion is great, of course, because it's expandable too for more. But I struggled so hard with this question. I kind of wanted to hit up some other highlights if we can.
Yeah. There are definitely other games I could give shout-outs to. Yeah. So for certain.
Yeah. The biggest discovery for me at Gen Con this year was Ticket to Ride. I'd never played any of those before. Specifically, Ticket to Ride Europe is what we've been playing.
Right.
And that game's been out for a long time, but holy cow, what a great game. What a great game.
That's what I've heard.
We've played it. We've probably played that more since Gen Con than anything else.
Wow.
Yeah. And thinking back to it, I was shocked. I was really shocked how much time we've put into that, how many places we've taken that, how many people we've played it with. That's really, really been fantastic. Another happy discovery for me, this time was Small World.
Right. After the whole debacle, 2 years in a row.
2 years in a row, terrible, terrible, terrible demos at Gen Con. And then just this past spring, before we started recording the show, I thought, gosh, you know, let me try this. Everybody says it's so great. I mean, I like the way it looks. So I just bought it at our game shop and gave it a try. And that was a real, real big surprise. We haven't replayed it as much as a lot of the other games that we bought, but, you know, I've said before, it's like Risk, but faster and tighter.
Right.
And a little crazier, a little wild, you know?
Right.
You can kind of go for broke, and it doesn't punish you for that, necessarily.
Excellent.
So I really like that. The last one I want to mention, which was a real shocker to me when I was thinking this question over, is Quadify.
And you know? Just to be clear for the audience, the first time you talked about Quadify, you talked about how it really didn't have any replayability.
I was worried that it didn't, yeah. Yeah, my wife and I bought that at a toy store on Mackinac Island when we were vacationing up there this past spring. And it just looked like kind of a fun little simple thing. But I swear every time we have people over, somebody looks up at our shelf and says, Quadify? What is that? And I go, oh, Quadify, and I pull it down. And I say, here, look, it's wooden blocks and you stack them. And people they get it instantly, right away. It clicks in their brain. And it plays so fast and it's fun and it's great, you know? And you play through one game and that new person you're showing it to just kind of scratches their head for a minute and goes, oh, right, let's try it again. Every time.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those games where you play it and it's like, all right, one more time.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah, it's been a real, real happy surprise.
Excellent. You know, I think a game I want to give a shout out to that kind of changed my perspective on co-op games, because I really hadn't played many co-op games before. It was the Forbidden Island game that I talked about.
Yeah, you've talked about that a lot, too.
Yeah, and my wife and I, we really like that. It's great for two players. It scales well to four. It's got, you play different roles in the game, whether you're, you know, and that role gives you a special ability that no one else has, and you have to work as a team to get these idols, these Indiana Jones-style idols off this island before it sinks into the ground. And it's like playing an action movie, because the farther you get into the game, the faster things start to happen, the quicker the island's sinking, and the harder you have to work to try and stop everything. So it's pretty awesome. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, cool. that really got me thinking more about co-op games than I ever had before.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. So,
yeah, that's great.
And we've introduced this to some people, and everyone has thought it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd still like to try it. Yeah, when you really
need to.
Yeah,
we'll have to do
that. Cool.
I've got some other games, but they're going to come in later.
Okay. All right.
Where they fit a little better.
Sure, sure. Cool.
So let me ask you a question, Rob.
Yeah.
We touched a bit on Gen Con, because that's obviously where we found a lot of games.
It's kind of the highlight of the year for us.
Exactly. So what was your favorite part or parts of Gen Con?
Well, Gen Con was really different for me this year. Well, for both of us. I mean, we were coming to it as the hosts of this new show, not just as attendees.
Right.
But I think, you know, we saw so much cool stuff, and it was every year Gen Con is better than the year before for me anyway. But I think it was especially special this time, because it was the first time that Christine, my wife, came with me for the whole time.
Yep.
And I think that was my favorite thing this year was that it wasn't just a vacation for me and the guys, you know.
Right.
It was the two of us together, and she was, you know, she's been a gamer, you know, as long as we've been together. But she really got it this time. Like going to Gen Con and experiencing that whole thing for the whole 4 days, beginning to end, it really, really made sense to her, and she just embraced it 100%. And that was really, really super exciting for me. And then in addition to that, we had convinced another couple who are friends of ours to come down just for that Saturday and give it a try. And they fell in love with it immediately too. So the best thing for me was really introducing it to people I care about and having them enjoy it as much as I did. So it's not that a specific event, it's not a specific game, it's that community, kind of helping to expand the community of that, which really, really made me feel good about it this year. Really made me feel like it was really, it was, the whole experience was continuing to change and grow.
Right. And listeners, Rob is being honest about this because his wife does not listen to the show, so he's not even trying to score points. He actually just means it. So, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I think for me, obviously the community thing was, you know, going down there as part of the podcast and seeking out designers to meet them. You know, we met Chevy Dodd there, got to see Chris Kirkman for the first time in person and Jason Gutarski.
Michael Keller and Ben Rossett and Matt Warden and
Max Michael we met.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was and also Brian Brubeck.
Yep.
So he was one of the people on our show. We got to meet Phil Kilcrease from
Fifth Street.
We came very close to Grant Rodiak, but didn't meet him until finally we met him on our show. So.
And AJ.
Yeah, AJ from Van Ryder Games. That's been a great thing because he's been, you know, he's become a friend of ours that we've gotten to talk to quite a bit, and that's been nice. I think obviously those were some of the highlights. I mean, I'm not going to lie. The best thing about Gen Con for me was the fact somebody bought my game, right? Well,
hands down.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, no question. I would be lying if I didn't say that.
Yeah.
But that happened because of the community.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, Unpub and that kind of stuff and getting to meet those people. And I'm always excited about Gen Con, but I'm so much more excited next year because we have all of these new friends that we met that, you know, we're going to see there, and we're trying to get other friends to go for the first time. And my wife's actually going to go for most of Gen Con next year, and that'll be exciting.
Yeah.
So I think summing it up, community for both of us really, that really grew this year.
Sure.
And that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's excellent.
So welcome to a very special episode of the podcast.
Single tear.
Where we talk about feelings and single tears running down our cheek.
Let's move on.
Let's.
What was your favorite Kickstarter that you participated in?
So there's two. I couldn't narrow it down to one. For different reasons, right?
Yeah.
The funniest Kickstarter video that I saw, and you're probably gonna agree with this, was Dice Rings.
Yeah, for sure.
It was just so hilarious. So yeah, I mean, I backed the Kickstarter, which my wife said was the nerdiest thing I've ever done in my life. That's a quote. When I showed her the dice rings, she said, and now just so that anybody who didn't hear that episode, it's a ring you wear, and it's got, from the one I got, is a D20. So it's got the 20 sides to it.
1 to 20.
Yep, and you can spin the ring on your finger.
Right.
And it spins, and then it stops at a number. So it's like you're rolling dice with your hand, and on your hand.
And the Kickstarter is long since over, but you can still go to Kickstarter and find dice rings on there and just watch their video. It's worth your time. It's hilarious.
They made hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They made bank,
and they kept introducing new ring styles because they could afford to, I'm assuming, as they went. But you know, it was the funniest video I've ever seen on Kickstarter. Just this year.
Really excellent.
And, so, you know, I think my favorite Kickstarter that I was invested in because I did back the Dice Rings one, but, I was one of those, I backed it and I was done with it. You know, I kept getting updates. But it's not like, I gotta follow this.
Yeah.
My friend, Steve and Jessica of Gita Games, who did the Lily Looking Through one, you know, that was a Kickstarter where I watched it daily, right? Yeah. Because I wanted to see, you know, it grow, and they did very good and they succeeded. With that, and that was awesome to be able to see that, to know someone personally who I talk to, you know, a few times a week, and see sometimes, you know, and that really could watch the Kickstarter with them and talk to them about it, and participate, you know, beforehand in the setting up. I helped film their video and such. That was, you know, that was a lot of fun, and their video was nothing to sneeze at. Thank you. It was you know, they had some effects, and there was some disappearing time travel, a bucket of water.
Ooh.
Yeah, so it was fun. It was fun to help them make, and it was also fun to watch.
Yeah,
and I really, really enjoyed that, which makes me think of how much I'll enjoy when one of us is doing a Kickstarter.
Yeah,
probably you, because I don't know that I'll enjoy when I'm doing a Kickstarter until it says funded.
Yeah,
and after that, it'll all be fun. But until then, you know. It's a little stressful.
Nothing but stress and hair pulling. And,
right.
Yeah.
So how about yourself?
Yeah. I agree 100% that Dice Rings was the funniest thing and the most entertaining campaign that I saw of the year. But the one that I'm really kind of most looking forward to, and it's taking a long time, and that's the frustrating thing about Kickstarter, is you get really excited about this thing, you give them money, and then you have to wait. You have to wait so long sometimes. So right now I'm waiting for Quicksilver.
Oh, I knew you were going to say Quicksilver.
The great airship racing game. I'm a nut for racing games. I love them. And I saw this on there, and it was a little pricey to get a copy of the game.
It was.
But, and I saw I kind of hemmed and hawed over it, and I think it was in the last week that I finally backed it. And it was another one of those that made its goal pretty late, you know, so it was a little bit of a nail biter.
Yep.
But yeah, racing zeppelins around in some kind of steampunk kind of theme world, and you're, you know, shooting guns at each other and trying to repair damage and make it around the track and avoid obstacles and stuff. I don't know. It looks crazy and silly and fun.
It does. Yeah. That was one of those where it was, you know, I mean, we've talked about this before. We can't back everything.
Yeah.
We're not rich people.
Right. Right.
You know, and I, there are some times where if I see an expensive Kickstarter and I think, oh, I'd like to back that, and I know you've backed it, I'll say, you know what? You don't have to back that.
Yeah.
Rob backed it. I can try it with him, you know.
Right.
Now, there are some that are, you know, that we both back. We'll see it. We both back it.
Yeah.
With the expensive ones, sometimes it's tough.
It's tough, you know. You know, limited budget for this kind of stuff. You really have to pick and choose, yeah.
And when you look at a game like Quicksilver or another one that I had backed, a different one, you know, they're so much pricier that it's like, that's like backing two of another game.
Yeah, right.
You know, so that, like, do I want to back two Kickstarters or do I want to back this one?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But it's kind of nice because if we both back an expensive one separately, then we back two for the same price.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, Quicksilver, I'm really looking forward to that. That's from Split Second Games. I think it's splitsecondgames.com or splitsecond.com.
Nice.
We'll figure it out for the show notes. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to getting that. Hopefully, I think they said they have all their artwork done. Recently, they just announced that, and it's going to be sent off to printers here in the near future. So hopefully in the next 2 or 3 months, I will have a copy of Quicksilver to talk about.
Awesome.
Crossing my fingers.
And now that you make me think of it, I don't know Dice Ring's website, but we'll link it in Kickstarter. And Geeta Games I'll link to, but it's just geetagames.com.
G-E-E-T-A.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, your turn, sir.
Is it my turn?
It's actually my turn.
Yeah, it is your turn.
I'm just terrible, sorry.
You can't keep track of anything.
Nope. So I'm even numbers and you're odd numbers. So my question to you, sir, is what was your favorite episode of our podcast?
Oh god, this is so hard. You know, I thought about this, I tried to think of it in terms of what episode had the best game pitch. And we'll talk about that later. So, you know, I didn't want to focus on that. And I kind of thought about, you know, which episode did we have the most, you know, kind of in-depth, really detailed, robust discussion about a mechanic or, you know, a function, a feature of a game. And I struggled with that too, because I feel like we really had some good conversations.
We I mean, there were some, you know, that were a little thinner, but we did have some really solid conversations on several mechanics.
Yeah,
I thought so too, at least.
Yeah, but for me, I think my favorite experiences were when we talked to other people, when we had guests on the show.
Agreed.
And as much fun as it was to have Chris Kirkman on the show, he was our first full guest. I think my favorite episode was when we interviewed with Flip the Table.
Yeah.
We had Chris and Jared and Flip on the show with us, and it was a good time.
It was the best time. I think that was on the outset, just based on a good time, mm-hmm. and also, I mean, we had some really good discussions on the show.
We sure did.
Because, you know, you can't let those guys fool you with their talking about bad games.
Uh-huh.
They know a lot about games.
They know what they're talking about.
They know what they're talking about, and that really does come through on their show too.
Yeah,
which
is
funny to me because they're talking about these terrible games, but they're talking about them like game designers.
They
have such good insights.
Yeah,
that was definitely my favorite as well. But. We had so many good interviews.
We did.
You know, I mean, I felt like we had the interviews, they just stand out so well because you just get that other opinion, you know, in there.
Yeah.
That third opinion. And for us, that's really nice because we bounce very well off each other. But to have kind of a third voice in there really, really,
really
kind
makes
of
difference.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we both agree that the most fun we ever had was the flip table episode.
Yeah.
And we'll get those guys back at some point.
Yeah.
It's a done deal. There's no way they can tell us no. You're hearing this right now, Chris. I know you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a good time.
Very good time.
Yeah. Moving on. Wow, we're nailing through these things pretty quick here. We might as well move on to your favorite game. Why don't we say, what was your favorite game that I pitched?
So my favorite game that Rob pitched, probably none of them. It was rough.
Thanks.
How about the one I hated the least? You know, it's funny because this was actually a really quick decision for me.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you think about it.
Okay.
You know, I'm curious what you think about the game that it jumped out at me instantly. And
really?
When you pitched it, it jumped out at me. And it's not a game we've talked about much since your pitch, but it was the Frankenstein's Legacy pitch.
Really?
I don't know. I really want to play that game.
Okay.
There's so many different pieces involved with,
yeah.
you know, the building the creature, the getting the parts, the harvesting the parts, then the testing, then the building, then the trying to turn the creature on. I just really like that, you know? And we talked too about the different ways you could chain the parts together and, you know, how you could make that work. And yeah, I really enjoyed that pitch. It's like nothing I've ever heard of game-wise.
Okay.
Yet it still is really familiar because it calls on Frankenstein, which is something that everyone is aware of.
Yeah.
So you've got a great theme that everyone knows with interesting mechanics and kind of a play style that I haven't seen before.
Okay.
That's pretty much, it doesn't get much better than that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So does it surprise you that was my...
It does surprise me that's the one you picked, but it's also the one that I picked as my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. Like, I was looking back through the list of stuff that I've pitched.
Spoiler alert, folks.
I might as well answer my half of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I was looking back through the stuff that I pitched and thinking about stuff that I prototyped. You know, I prototyped Damsels in Distress. I prototyped the Tower game. I got about halfway through prototyping the Slender Man game until the whole copyright concerns came up and sort of kind of stopped me. Yeah, and thinking back through all the different ideas, Frankenstein's Legacy really, really jumped out at me as the one that I think is still the most interesting and compelling for me, too. So I really think I need to come back to that.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
And we both agree. So the listeners are clear, we did not share any of this information at the time.
We
purposely answered these questions separately. So that's cool. That's really good validation, I think, for you.
It is, yeah. That's encouraging.
That we both...
We haven't heard any feedback from the community, though, from the listeners on that at all.
No, yeah, I would love to hear more about the game, and I'll relink this game in the show notes, pitch,
yeah,
so they can see it again.
That'd be great.
You know, I just, some of the other ones that did pop out in my mind, I love Damsels. I love playing Damsels. So that was, you know, and it's cool because I've played Damsels probably like 10 times now. We've played it a bunch, quite a bit.
Yeah.
And we've played the Tower game, which I also enjoyed. I mean, the Tower game was one of those where we played it and was like, all right, you got some work to do on
There's
this.
There's a lot. It's still a lot of work to do on
it. But it was fun, you know? Which I know was encouraging to you because you were afraid it wasn't fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, Damsels, I just really enjoy playing Damsels. But with that said, having played two of your other prototypes, still, Frankenstein's Legacy was way up here. I mean, so.
All right.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
So, obviously, Rob answered also his next question, which was, what was his favorite game he pitched? So, that's perfect. We'll do it that way with me, too.
It'll work.
I'll just pretend that it's the same game, whatever you say. I won't do that.
Yeah. So, my favorite game that you pitched is the next step here.
Yes.
And I thought long and hard about that. And I mean, there's two that really, really I liked a lot.
Okay.
And I mean, obviously, Ramblers is excellent.
Right.
Ramblers is going to be excellent.
Not the game I picked.
No. I said I'm not going to talk about that one because that's kind of in a separate category now.
Right.
You know? So thinking back, I really liked your Bike Messenger game a lot. I really liked that a lot. But edging out above that was your Conservator versus Developer game.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I liked that. I liked that the I liked the two-player aspect, okay? I liked that it was a card game, but not just simply a card game. I liked that it was a board game, but also not simply just a board game. I liked the that kind of give and take action to it. I liked, we talked about the other day, money. I liked the way money is handled in the game. I liked that just laying those cards out in that visual area. It's hand management. It's strategy on a board. It's money. It's attack. It's defense. I that stuff really was very, very cool to me. And you made a real basic prototype of that that I thought was really excellent. So I think that by far is my favorite of your pitches.
Wow. That makes me want to go back and work on that more. Because I know you enjoyed it when we played, yeah. But I didn't realize that you liked it that much.
Yeah, I did. That's awesome. I did. And the more I've thought about it since then, the more I thought that it has so much potential to be super simple to learn,
right?
And a lot of strategy potential in there.
You know, I think I'll pick that one back up simply because but the feedback you gave me was great, and we talked about some really simple ways
mm-hmm.
to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some stopping points. Like when you played the game, you just destroyed.
Yeah, obviously there are balance issues. Yeah.
But we talked about some ways to focus on that, and so I think I will pick that back up and give it a try. It's not that one of the things that got me stuck on that game mm-hmm. being unsure about it was I felt like the theme was a little lackluster, but maybe, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, when I first thought of the theme, when I was in Colorado and that
yeah.
idea came
and you were
to me
inside of it,
it
yeah.
felt like this is genius. Yeah. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, uh-huh. who cares about conserving and developing?
Well, it's that conflict. It's a pretty classic idea of progress versus you know, nature,
right?
And that's a pretty core, pretty basic thing that people understand. I think
that's true. Yeah, that's a you good know? Point. I'll have to. I will. I'm saying right now. I will work on that prototype and I'll get it back out again so we can try okay. it again. So,
and if you're really concerned with that theme, really, you know, it's the game is about is two asymmetrical factions trying to take over the same territory.
Right.
So there are other ways you could reskin that. But keeping with that conservator developer concept, I think it's a familiar thing that's probably a pretty safe bet.
Well, I guess what I did feel good about it when I thought of it was different. It wasn't yeah. two factions trying to blow each other up. I mean, it was
yeah.
two people trying to outwit each other
yeah.
by getting, you know, space on the board.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that's yeah. awesome. That's good to hear. Not what I chose.
Okay.
That definitely was one of my top choices.
Uh-huh.
The game that still, to me, when I think about the complexity and the strategy and the theme, I still really like the camp game about the kids trying to pull the pranks.
Yeah, the troublemakers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The reason I think I like that one so much is because you've got a board. There's a lot, it's like the other game in the fact that there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
You've got a board. You've got kids that you're moving around the board doing some worker placement aspects.
Mm-hmm.
There's some press your luck with, you know, if you want to try to get to areas to get things from the counselors that you need, because you're trying to make pull these pranks. And to pull these pranks, you have to have certain items like a slingshot, you have to build these items,
yeah.
you know? So, I think that one's my favorite.
Okay.
But it's also one of the harder ones to prototype. There's so much
it's
happening in
a lot of
in
pieces
the game.
Involved, yeah.
I've tried a few times to get it to prototype, and I've failed.
Mm.
Just, you know, I've gotten the board figured out, the layout and stuff.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of mechanics to figure out with it that need to be, you mm-hmm. know, understood. So yeah. But I think that's one I want to try and focus on in the new year as well. The conservator versus developer is easy, though. I mean, I can whip up a new prototype of that fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So...
yeah,
with some changes that'll really kind of show if the strategy would work better,
mm-hmm.
Or balance better, I guess. So, cool,
yeah,
interesting. All right,
good. Cool. Right on.
Well, technically, I asked that question,
right?
So, if you want me to? I'll just ask you the next question.
Sure, that's fine.
What do you think the best thing about hosting a podcast is, or hosting this podcast?
Using this podcast as opposed to all the other podcasts that I host.
Right.
Oh, wait, none. hosting a podcast. Well, I've had a lot of fun learning a lot more about audio.
Right.
That's been super fun, software and hardware wise. But I think, you know, not to get too wishy-washy again, I think the best part has been how being the host of the show has kind of led us to meet so many good people, you know? And I wish, and you've met more than I have. So, you know, but it's been real exciting. A lot of these people we've met on Twitter, you know, and,
right.
But yeah, making these connections and talking to new people with similar interests, has really, really been exciting.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that yeah, meeting the people is just, it's such a driving force,
mm-hmm.
and it really makes you want to keep making the podcast.
Yeah.
As we meet people who are just fans of the show.
Yeah.
You know, who are aspiring game designers or other designers we know that listen, and that we've got to meet. It's just so encouraging.
Yeah. Yeah.
To,
it really
to
is.
To know that people in the community feel like what we're doing is valid.
Yeah.
You know, I think the other best thing to kind of, my first choice was definitely people, but, you know, a good second was, it forces us to do more, forces us to have ideas, forces us to, you know, we're putting ourselves out there with a lot of these ideas, right?
Yeah.
Which is difficult to do sometimes. And it gets easier because, I mean, we've made a fool of ourselves a couple times with terrible ideas and that's okay. You kind of get comfortable with that, right?
Yeah.
Especially me, because I always have terrible ideas. So.
We both had our share, but yeah, you more than me.
So I think that really have, you know, forcing us to kind of put ourselves out there has been really nice,
mm-hmm.
but also forcing when we say, you know, hey, I'm going to work on this,
mm-hmm.
you know, we want to try and keep to that. So
yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I certainly have thought about game design way more
mm-hmm.
than we ever have.
For sure.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of in that same subject, you know, and it's something we've talked about before that we struggle with, is that one of the drawbacks of the show is that even though it's constantly got us trying to be creative, it distracts us from our old ideas because we're coming up with new ideas all the time, you know?
And they're always so shiny.
And they're shiny and new and exciting.
Yes.
And which is why I kind of moved on, because I went from the Frankenstein idea. I had that and I really worked on that hard for about 2 weeks. And then we recorded the show, and then right away we had to record the next show. And so I right away then had to move on and develop the Slenderman idea for that
right.
pitch. And I kind of set Frankenstein aside and forgot all about it since then until I started doing this kind of look back stuff. And so that's been kind of a struggle for this, you know? So it's been, so meeting all these people has been really, really been the best thing about hosting a show, putting ourselves out there. This our show specifically, one of the drawbacks has been that we're working so hard to stay set and tight on our schedule and be consistent with putting up shows, because, you know, we owe that to our audience,
right?
You know, that it's that drawback of us, you know, constantly having to look forward and not taking enough time to look back, I think.
Right. You know, and I guess what's so cool about the podcast is, even though we feel that, and, you know, like you said, we're struggling sometimes, get these shows out for the listeners, you know, we will publish on schedule.
Yeah.
But the coolest thing is that it's never not fun. You know what I mean?
That's true. You're right.
When I have to sit down and do show notes, you know,
yeah.
Sunday morning mm-hmm. so that they can be out Sunday afternoon for yeah. the show, that's still fun. You know, it's still so much fun. And that's what I love about, you know, that's mm-hmm. another thing I guess I love about doing the show is that it's a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get to.
I always look forward to sitting down here and recording with you. I always look forward to editing. And I pretty much, you know, like I said, I think I said before, when I'm editing, I generally listen to the whole show 2.5 times, and then I put it on my iPod and I listen to it while I'm at work later that week, you know?
Right.
Just because I enjoy it.
Right.
You know?
It's because you're like, gosh, those guys are so witty.
Yeah.
Man, listen to more of those guys. Sure, that's what it is.
They sound sexy.
Yes, we do.
Let's see. What would you do differently if we had the chance to do it over again?
Probably make more prototypes.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's hands down to me, that is mm-hmm. something that I feel like I failed at this year. I made Ramblers got prototyped. I made the Conservator Developer prototype, and I feel like I made another one, but I guess not. May have just been those two.
Yeah, I think so.
So, yeah. So next year, you know, that makes me want to make more prototypes for next year. But I do, I just feel like it's so easy for us to kind of get behind on that.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, life gets in the way.
Right.
I mean, you know, it, we have day jobs and we have families and,
right,
you know, and it's, it can be a struggle. Yeah.
And now too, I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I mean, I'm putting more time, my design time now is getting put into Rambler still.
Yeah, sure. With good reason.
Yeah, which is great. I'm not complaining. But basically, I mean, I'm trying to make new prototypes for Ramblers as well, you know, for the next iteration to do more development. So that takes time as well, you know. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the, there's not infinite time, unfortunately.
No.
But I do feel like I could have probably gotten one or two more prototypes out,
mm-hmm.
And I would have been happy with that. So yeah, I guess that's what I would do. I would try and do differently,
mm-hmm.
Is because I'm happy with the pitches I did. I mean, I like some better than others.
Yeah.
And frankly, when I do a pitch and it's just kind of fun and I'm not married to it, that's awesome because mm-hmm. that doesn't become a struggle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, do I want to prototype this? It's like, no, I don't. I like the pitch, but I'm done. Mm-hmm. So.
Sure.
So what about you?
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that. And I've only done the two prototypes also, you know, the Tower Game and Damsels. You only have so much creative energy and so much creative time to put into that kind of stuff. But I do wish, I agree with you, I wish I'd had time to do more. And, you know, now I'm really motivated to do something with Frankenstein's Legacy. So hopefully I'll be able to do that. But I think coming at it from the point of view of all this technology and audio stuff that I'm learning, I kind of wish that our early episodes sounded better.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we did the best we could.
Right.
And we've learned so much since then.
Yeah.
I mean, right now we're recording on our second Tascam input box.
Yep.
I mean, not that the old one broke, but we just realized we needed to upgrade to one that was more featured.
Yep. Could do more features, could take more mics.
Yeah. Early on, we didn't even have, we were both talking into one boom mic.
Yeah.
You know, that was just on a stand sitting on my desk here that was just sitting on a, you know, the stand was a few blocks of wood that I glued together.
Yeah, and put a bunch of stickers on. It was
right,
nice.
Right. In those early episodes, we didn't even have blankets hanging on the walls, so you could hear all the traffic driving by outside my house.
Yep.
You know, so I wish that I had, because that was my responsibility. I wish that I had done more early on to figure that out, to do more testing and started our audio quality out better from the beginning. And I'm glad that we've gotten to a point. We've got this better technology, better microphones now, better software. It's been a learning process, and I'm glad that we sound better now than we used to.
Me too. That does, you know, I mean, to be honest, when we first started the podcast, it was a new thing. We weren't mm-hmm. certain what we were going to do with it.
Yeah.
We had a mic and it's a really nice mic. It's just not what we weren't using.
It's not a podcasting mic, you know, it's not intended for this.
Right. You know, and so we were just kind of learning and and getting the new stuff to get the, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we definitely, I think a lesson we learned that we would probably do differently, and I think we have, is, you know, we as you said, we're on our second Tascam box now,
mm-hmm.
which means we kind of wasted buying the first one.
Yeah.
Because
we feel bad about that.
Because we didn't look forward far enough.
Right.
Now this box, you know, is mm-hmm. actually built to hold, do more than we are capable of right now.
Right.
So we can grow into it. So mm-hmm. that's kind of nice.
Yeah.
It's not like we bought the bottom what we need, you know. But again, last time, technically it was because the last one could hold two inputs and we only had one mic.
Right.
So, you know, and then we got two mics and, you know. So.
Stepping forward one little baby step at a time.
Right.
And learn it as we go. But, you know, so all that said, though, I'm from two guys who just kind of went to the Guitar Center and said, hey, guy behind the counter, what do you think? And read a little bit online. You know, we've done okay,
right?
You know,
oh yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy, especially with where we're at now. You mm-hmm. know, speaking of which, some of the next questions are going to get into kind of what we're looking forward to. So, just to kind of recap.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode is our 31st regular episode of mm-hmm. the show that we've done. We started in June.
Yep.
And we've also done 8 bonus episodes, putting the full count at 39.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing.
That's great.
To think since June, we've had, mm-hmm. you know, It's been a crazy trip.
It has. And I've pitched 11 games and you've pitched 12 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Which is also crazy to think about.
It's wild. Yeah. So much. We're creating content, man.
I know. You know, and that's something that's been so important. You and I have had a lot of discussions about creating content that is worthwhile.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've both listened to a lot of podcasts, a lot of great podcasts, but we listen to some that feel like they're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't want to be that show.
Yeah.
We said, if we're going to take our time to do this, we don't want to waste our time and we don't want to waste your time.
No, right.
We want to provide a service basically for you guys, and for us, because you know, we talked about all the positive things for us, but we also really want it to be positive in the community.
Yeah.
We want it to help, you know, grow the community in a way that, is positive. So, I mean, I hope we're achieving that.
I think so.
The good feedback we get says that.
Yeah.
We don't get a lot of negative feedback, so I'm guessing those people just stop listening.
Well, you would think so, ideally, yeah. Yeah. But, of course, if we do get to a point where we're so popular that people are flaming us, then, you know, I think we're doing okay.
That would feel good,
too. It's a good sign.
I look forward to the day when we're super popular, if that day ever comes, and people are flaming us, because I will still read those on the air.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, we've made that commitment. We owe it to our listeners.
You guys are so expletive deleted that you can expletive deleted. That's pretty exciting to me.
Yeah.
I want to say that a lot.
Yeah. I don't want to say it that much.
No, I'm kidding. So
a little bit would be funny, though.
A little bit would be funny.
Yeah.
So you were ready to talk about forward?
Yeah, let's look forward. It's your turn to ask a question.
All right, so 2013.
Yeah.
What new game coming out in 2013 are you looking forward to the most?
Castellan, easy.
Oh, that's one of mine too. I have two because that was the easiest one to put
down.
That was,
there was no question. That was the number one thing that I saw. When we both saw that before we went to Gen Con. We talked about it on our pre-show, and then we saw it at Gen Con, and we just went bonkers nuts for it, and we talked about it so much after. Castellan looks like it looks like pure joy to me.
And I actually got to demo it twice.
Yeah.
Once with you guys and once by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so fun. Just to remind people, it's a game where you're building these courtyards.
Yeah.
It's a Steve Jackson game and it's very tactile.
Mm-hmm.
You've got these awesome pieces.
Plastic towers and plastic castle walls that interlock together. Yep.
And they're different sizes.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh man, it's just a lot of fun.
Excellent. It's excellent.
It's a simple idea.
Uh-huh.
That's very different than anything else I've seen. Mm-hmm.
It's executed flawlessly.
Oh, it is. You know, that honestly, we mentioned our favorite things at Gen Con. That was, at least for me, it was one of the things that was just underneath the things we mentioned.
Yeah.
As for games, that was probably my favorite at Gen Con.
Yeah. I can't wait to get it. I can't wait. I will. I don't know if it's going to be on Kickstarter, or I don't think Steve Jackson does Kickstarter.
He only
much.
Did the Kickstarter for Ogre, and I think it was just because he didn't want to make it, and he wanted people to make him make it.
Yeah. But as soon as that becomes available, I don't know if it's going to release Gen Con 2013 or if it's going to be available sooner than that. I don't know, but I'll buy it day one.
Yep.
I sure will.
Me too.
Yeah. And yourself, other than Castellan.
The only other game I had down is actually a Kickstarter game that I backed, and it was one of the pricier ones. Mm-hmm. I just neglected to mention it earlier because I wanted to talk about it now, is Castle Dice. I think I showed you this one.
You did.
This was one that I backed that you didn't, because, again, you backed Quicksilver, which was also expensive. So it's a dice drafting game about building a castle. Building castles is cool, first of all.
It is.
Dice are super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And dice drafting sounds super cool. I haven't played any games with dice drafting.
Yeah. Well, that's like Warriors, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess Warriors. That's more... Are you drafting in that game? Is that how you build your... Is that how you build your dice deck?
Yeah, you're spending quiddity points, magic points, to buy dice from the table.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like that, except for my understanding from the Kickstarter video that I saw is you roll them, and then you just everybody takes, okay, I grab one, you grab one, I grab one, you grab one, and I'm putting them on a tableau in front of me.
Oh, okay. So you're not spending points to buy them.
No, and then you get to spend those to buy stuff.
Got it.
So that, it just looks like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Still more excited about Castellan just because I played it. And
I
know that it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's one of those games that I was sad that my wife wasn't at Gen Con because I thought she's just going to love this game.
Yeah.
Going to love it.
For sure.
So
yeah.
Definitely that's my favorite.
Cool.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, our last question of the night here, we wanted to say, we wanted to ask each other here, what are you looking forward to most for the show, for the podcast in 2013?
I mean, I don't want to sound cheesy, but I mean, it really is growing the podcast, you know, more, being able to interact with more people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to really kind of grow that community, even bigger, you know, it's hard for that not to be the thing I'm looking forward to, you know, I mean...
Yeah, well, everything is driving towards that.
Right.
You know, that goal of reaching more people and helping more people.
Right. So...
But, that said, some of the stuff that we are looking forward to do to achieve that goal, do we want to talk about our Gen Con plans?
Yeah, let's... First, let's talk about the new series we want to do on the show.
Yeah, all right, let's do that.
Because that's going to happen right away.
Yeah.
Gen Con's a little farther out, but I think we can definitely tease the Gen Con stuff. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do our guest host series, as we're calling it. And what that means is Rob and I are going to be on the show, just like normal, because you can't get by without both of us, I'm sure, in your lives.
Right. So, eat our smooth, silky voices.
Right. So, Rob and I will be on the show. We're going to also have a third person on the show. So, about every fifth episode, we'll do this.
Yeah.
That person will come on, just a friend of ours, not the same person. We're gonna rotate through a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
They're all friends of ours, though, who are game designers, either aspiring or published. They're going to come on. We're not going to interview them. They're just going to be part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to talk about what they've been playing with us, just like we talk about our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to pitch give us a mechanic to talk about.
Yep.
And we're going to discuss that. And then they're going to pitch their game idea.
Yeah.
We've had some success with this.
Very much like we did with Grant last week.
Yep. So, I'm super excited about that. I think we have the first four confirmed so far.
Yeah, that's great.
Which is super exciting because they're all awesome people.
Yeah.
And we're jerks and we don't like to announce this stuff ahead of time. But So the plan is to start that early in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And continue it about every fifth episode or so. Really depends on availability of the guests.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That'll be tons of fun. I can't wait to talk to more people. Talk shop. You know. It's so fun.
Well, and we thought of it because we've had such a good time talking to people, and you know the interviews we do. Some of the best stuff we've done that we've felt about is just those conversations we've had with those people.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just the interview part.
Right. So why not just do that?
Just cut to the chase.
Yeah. Record that. So, that's the best stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. That's exciting. Do you want to give a little preview of what we're talking about for Gen Con?
Yeah. We have a couple ideas here. We want to do a panel or two at the con. And then the number one panel we want to do that we're excited about is we want to do Building the Game Live. We want to do an episode of the show live in front of an audience and record it, of course, and basically kind of design a game as a group.
Yep.
We want to start from scratch. You know, Jason and I will be on microphones, and we'll have one microphone up in the room, and people can come up and we can kind of work together. And we can come up with an idea, with a theme, a mechanic. We can try and build a game from beginning to end right there in a course of an hour, hour and a half or two, however long how much time we can work this out to be. And we're really excited about that. We think it'll be a ton of fun.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we don't have all the details worked out yet, of course, but we're going to be nailing those down in the near future. Because we need to get that submitted to Gen Con pretty early in 2013.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, but once we get it submitted and approved, then we'll come up with all the details.
Yep.
You know, we really, it's just a really good chance to have other people be a part of the show.
Right.
And to try something a little different, you know, and then we'll broadcast that as our episode while we're at Gen Con.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the idea. Record it and then post it that same weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
So it should be a really good time.
Yeah, I hope so.
If there's anything that you listeners, though, can think of that you'd like to hear from us at Gen Con, you know, something you'd like mm-hmm. to see us do, let us know, because we've got time to plan that.
Yeah.
And we do have a couple other panel ideas that we're not going to talk about quite yet because they're not as firm. Definitely mm-hmm. we'll be doing the Building the Game live one way or another.
Right.
So cool. We'll just stick with that for now, I think. But if you do have ideas, shout them out to us because, you know, mm-hmm. we love to hear from you guys. Feedback is one of our favorite things to get.
Absolutely. Talk to us, please. We're lonely.
Very lonely. I think there's one more goal we could probably throw out there that we've talked about. Rob, yeah. You wanna...
yeah, we've been talking about this offline for months now, but we've decided that what we really want to do is we want to make it a goal of the show to publish one game a year under the Building the Game label. So the idea is that we want to have this game be born and raised and published on the show from beginning to end. We want to pitch it on the show. We want to openly talk about our development process. We want to openly share playtesting and debates and take it all the way through from beginning to end, all the way to the Kickstarter, openly and completely in view of you, of the listeners. Because I think the more, this is the whole point of our show, is the more that we can share about our process, about what we're learning, about our successes and our failures, the more of that we can share, the better off we're going to be, and the more we are going to be able to help you guys out there. So that is one of our goals. We have some ideas that we've been talking about again offline for that. So starting in 2013, when we get into our new pitches for that year, we are going to get into this. We're going to be pitching games to each other specifically with the goal to be that it will be the Building the Game of 2013. And I think that kind of wraps us up here for our year-end wrap-up.
I think it does.
I think we're in good shape here. Thanks, everybody, for joining us on this ride here since we launched back in June of 2012. It's been a ton of fun for us. As always, you know, talk to us. Tell us what you think. How do you feel about what we're doing, about any games that we've pitched? What would you like to see us do more of in the future? Talk to us. You can find us on Twitter at podcastbtg. Our website is buildingthegamepodcast.com. You can email us buildingthegamepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to talk to Jason is at JASlingerland on Twitter, and I am at poorly_designed. You can also reach us on Facebook. Give us some likes. You can give us a review on iTunes if you would be so kind. I know not everybody is doing that because we have a whole lot more listeners than we have reviews. So
it's
true. What the heck, guys? Come on.
It's really easy to just go click 5 stars.
You just do the thing and that's all. You don't even have to type anything.
And if you really want to type something, just type, "You're awesome."
Yeah. Come on. Seriously.
And if you're listening to this right now and you want to help us, type, "Jason is more awesome than Rob." All you have to type.
Hey, if that gets more 5-star reviews, I'm all for it. Okay, I think we're all set.
We are set. Have a happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. Don't get too drunk. Or if you do, make sure you don't have to work the next day so that you can recover.
Just be safe.
Be safe, indeed. Good night, good year, good everything, gang.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game. Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary pop bub da baba. A doc pop de pot.